Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about being partners in marriage for the long haul and some of the factors that help make this happen. And you can find more family resources at mystronghome.com.
This is an interesting, because it's such a deep subject, we've been spending a little bit of extra time on it, because the idea of pulling together in a partnership is not about a 50-50 relationship. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes, you share more of the load and sometimes the other person does. But together, mm-hmm. we meet the challenge, whatever that challenge is that's in front of us right now.
Right, because sometimes one or the other doesn't have it in them to do everything that's needed. But if you're really a partner, you know that it's your time to step up and take over whatever they can't provide right now.
Well, I've got several questions that I have done many hours of listening mm-hmm. and talking with couples. And so when it comes to a partnership, these questions are huge. And I'd like you just to think about these as we go into talking about the overall focus of our marriage. What are your individual goals for your marriage? As a wife, as a husband, what are your personal goals? In what ways do they overlap? This is an important conversation because sometimes we never stay at this level. And so consequently, mm-hmm. our communication is not on the heart level that it could be.
We used to, about once a year, make ourselves go through some of these questions because they're, like you said, some of the questions are pondering questions. But once you start thinking and talking about them, it can get really interesting. And maybe you haven't ever really put something into words, but like what your goals are for your marriage, but it makes for great conversation. And if you never take the time to do it, you kind of never get on the same page about that.
One of the principles to have a successful marriage that's reflected in the scriptures, and Peter, who was a married dude, understood that love and respect were very important mm-hmm. to have. And Paul picked up on it too, although we don't know a lot about his married background. But how would you rate your mutual respect for one another? And I use the word mutual respect because I know that it's important for me as a male to be respected.
Well, males equate respect with love, correct?
Yes,
if you're not respected, you don't feel loved.
Right. But mutual respect. So mm-hmm. as you have been careful to respect me, that's opened my eyes to asking the question, well, what does it mean for you to feel respected? So it's not like I get to be respected and you get to be cherished. I mean,
right.
we both, by taking our God-given role, open the door to experiencing that together.
Mm-hmm. I think it was life-changing in our marriage. At least I know I relaxed a lot in our marriage when you began to think highly of my opinion. That changed everything for me when I felt like I had that kind of respect. And after I'd given you that kind of respect, it just took us a while to figure that out.
Well, and then to communicate that, mm-hmm. not just to say, of course I feel that way.
Like I would have done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's part of the deal. I mean, mm-hmm. I wasn't Mr. Encourager when we got married. I had to learn how to articulate things mm-hmm. that were important. And I didn't even know what was important. So how would you rate your mutual respect for one another? That's if you're listening today, that's a great question for the dinner table tonight. And then how would you rate your shared compassion for one another? As far as, how you look at the other person's strengths and weaknesses and what's the level of compassion that's mm-hmm. happening between
you? And back
you?
To another question, how do you show it? Again, this question can really promote healthy conversation about what you consider compassion and how you may each display it differently. And it may also show who you are as a couple and what you're building. It can be a really encouraging conversation.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the focus of our marriage, and there are three topics that I'd like to touch on briefly. Empathy, maturity, and dignity. Mm-hmm. Empathy, maturity, and dignity. And these are three different things that are huge ingredients in a true partnership, a mm-hmm. satisfying partnership, because that's what we're talking about developing, because that's what God intended for life in the companionship that we're supposed to have with each other. And the first one, build it on empathy. Build your marriage on empathy. This is the ability to put yourself in your spouse's place and to truly search after his or her best interests.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you what some of the enemies are to empathy. And that is, if your personality is more driving or intolerant, you'll have to work on it. Or if you tend to be uninvolved or aloof. Yep. you got to work on it.
Right.
And then just being overly busy means you don't have time to be reflective. And so those things are enemies to true empathy.
Well, and I think reflecting in the right way is incredibly important. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's why God built the Sabbath in, and that's why the Jews observe the Sabbath, and that's why the Lord's Day. You know, it was the idea where when are you going to sit down and not just go from thing to thing, but when are you going to reflect and take stock? And empathy is hard to have unless you're taking stock.
Right, and not be tossed from thing to thing, because life carries you. And I think God wants us to grab a hold of our life instead of being carried away.
Yeah. Well, empathy is a big part, you know, and if you're not a naturally empathetic person, it's something you might want to get a self-help book on. And you might want to pray about it and think about it, because empathy doesn't just impact you and your spouse. It's huge when it comes to raising children. Mm-hmm. It's huge when it comes to being a friend or even a good coworker.
Absolutely.
It's just such a huge quality mm-hmm. in finding a partnership in life. The second one is to build our marriage partnership on maturity. And this is the learned wisdom. Now, the learned wisdom, not just the wisdom, the learned wisdom of acting responsibly and unselfishly toward your spouse.
Mm-hmm. And since maturity is the goal, we all have to check any unrealistic views we might have of marriage. Or if we have uncontrolled anger, you know, that's called a bad temper. We have to get to the bottom of that. As in, where is all that coming from anyway? And if it's baggage from our family of origin, we need to get help straight from God or with the help of a good counselor. And then one of the other things is lust or jealousy. You know, if you're controlled by that, it will keep your marriage at an immature place.
All of those enemies of maturity are addressed by vigilance. Mm-hmm. And you don't become mature. I mean, just like going, oh, well, I'm going to be mature now. It's like being wise. You know, wise comes through, you know, experiencing things. Mm-hmm. The same thing is true of maturity. It's trial and error.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's very common when you're 20 to think that when you're 30, you'll be wise. But you're not any wiser at 30 than you are at 20 unless you step by step determine that you want wisdom.
Well, maturity in a marriage is important because it's very important in our spiritual lives. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of freelancing here and thinking about a passage in Ephesians that just talks about, you know, growing up, you know, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's God's intention for us. And He doesn't just want us to make it through life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, He wants us to grow, become wise, become mature, impact the kingdom around us, because that's what makes life rich and full. And right along with that, that's the stuff that we carry with us into the heavenly kingdom.
Yeah, He wants to pour into our lives while we're here on earth, and we have a kind of a choice about whether we agree to let that happen or resist that happening.
Again, we're talking about some different worksheets that come out of mystronghome.com. It's a workshop, and you can check it out there. It's absolutely free, and it'll deliver to you. And you can have some great conversations and invest a little bit of time in that. The third thing, we talked about empathy. We talked about maturity in the marriage partnership. We also need to build our marriage on dignity. Dignity is the ability to be gracious, thoughtful, and measured. I love that word mm-hmm. because it's everything I'm not. Measured about our responses to life's challenges.
Mm-hmm. And since I'm taking the other side and saying what the enemies are of these things, dignity doesn't include scoffing or being lippy or, you know, generally unrestrained in how you talk. And the other thing that is really bad for dignity is having wandering affections.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you feel, and that we're just not even talking about purity issues mm-hmm. related to
but
moral.
But it includes purity.
It includes that. But we're also just talking about what takes your heart mm-hmm. away. And that's not a dignified way to live life. And when you feel like your spouse's heart is someplace else, that has a mm-hmm. huge impact on how you feel about your marriage and about yourself.
And I'm just giving an example. Golf can be one of those things. Biking can be one of those things.
Wait, you're naming all of mine.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying sometimes we talk about wandering affections and we do right away go toward romance, but we're talking about just anything that takes your time and your mental awareness away?
I've got some questions that I'd like to just kind of go back and forth on a little bit. Because, again, in a lot of conversations with married couples at different stages of marriage, these keep popping up. So I'd like to ask you, Bernadette, what are the attractive qualities in another person, in a man or a woman that you have seen?
Oh, I think kindness. I'm always struck by kindness. I'm struck by people being impartial, people that when I walk up, they act like they want to see me, like
right.
whether they do or not, but they put it on. I don't even mean fake, but just someone that shows that kind of kindness and impartiality, sense of humor. You know, people that take serious things seriously, but also can be lighthearted about the things of life that it's okay to be irreverent about.
It took me a long time to realize that loyalty was like my number one, mm-hmm. you know, as far as a quality that really did a lot of things for me and for my heart to mm-hmm. make me reciprocate. And as I've learned about that, I just can, even right now, I'm thinking about the loyalty that I've seen in men and women, and some people I haven't seen it in, and just how that's impacted me and how that quality is really important.
Yeah, and I want to clarify, when you say loyalty, you don't just mean blind loyalty to you. What you mean by that is loyalty to you, but loyalty to speak the truth to you. If you're working on something together, that you have a loyalty to God in that project. So I'm just clarifying what you're saying and what I know about you.
Well, thank you for doing that, because you know me better than anybody else. Here's a couple more questions. How is a spouse supposed to deal with what he or she feels is unacceptable in their spouse?
Oh, boy, this is a tough one. But, you know, I think the first thing I would say is pray and ask God what your next step is and earnestly listen, because he may say to you, I just want you to pray about this. I mm-hmm. don't want you to talk to anybody. I don't want you to talk to your spouse yet because I'm working on him or her. On the other hand, he may not say that. He may say, I want you to bring it up to her,
yes.
to him, or whatever. And then there's that third step. He may say, I want you to find someone trustworthy that you can talk to about this and start figuring out a way to work through it. But I don't think you can do it without asking God first and be assured that you're going about it the right direction.
I love that proverb, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Mm-hmm. And I think if you come at somebody in a combative way,
yeah, you're asking for it.
Right. But on the other hand, if you appeal mm-hmm. to one another as fellow heirs of the grace of life, like Peter talks about, well, then you've got wiggle room as far as being able to negotiate yeah. whatever it is you might be needing to talk about.
You're not
about.
Painting anybody into a corner or frustrating them unnecessarily.
Absolutely. Empathy, maturity, dignity. I'm looking at this worksheet. We could have talked about it for hours. And mm-hmm. again, you can find more video and course information at mystronghome.com. I just want to read a couple more of these questions uh-huh. and give you a second just to respond before we leave today. How are respect and trust established in the area or in the arena of a marriage relationship? What are the things that build that? And with that, what is the root of most women's anger and most men's anger? You want to take a shot at that?
Well, I think for women, most anger beneath that is fear.
Yes.
Either that their opinion doesn't matter, or that they're not pretty enough, or they're not smart, and it doesn't matter what it is. There's a whole list. But underneath is always this fear, even insecurity, there's a fear. So that's what I think it is for me.
Yeah. And I think for most men, it's just not being respected. And when I don't feel respected, it, you know, makes me angry.
Mm-hmm.
ForceStream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to ForceStream.com and click on the radio button.
Together we are finding hope at ForceStream.com.